So what do you think I want to preach this morning about? Resurrection power. Because we live in a resurrected power. And this morning, if you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. I'm going to try and keep to the time allotted me. And as I said, to try and get you out and do this all in an hour. Hey, miracles are things of today. Welcome to our miracle moment. And I'm just excited this morning. And when I just think of Jesus on the cross, as you can see, the cross is empty. He is risen. I know we can keep saying that just all morning. The power of it never changes. The import of it never changes. The awesomeness of it never changes. Because we serve a risen Savior, a living Savior. There's so many scriptures I could use this morning, but I'm going to contain myself to a bit of what I'd like to call an apologetics 101 preach this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But, remember when they have but? But is always there that negates the power of what was just said. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And I'm just blowing hot air this morning. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, says the Apostle Paul, because we testified that about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in His life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. The ifs. Number one, if Christ has not been raised. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. If Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Then we're all sitting here wasting our time. How many of you have seen a movie and gone off to and said, oh, that's an hour of my life, I'm never getting back? Because then afterwards this morning you could say that was an hour and a half of my life we're just not going to get back. Because it's in vain. We're wasting our time. Christianity would be as dead as any other religion. Not centered around Jesus Christ. We might as well go fishing or do something more productive. Number two, if, then our preaching is in vain. Our testimony, not just my preaching from the pulpit or the elders, whoever preaches in the pulpit, not just our preaching, your testimony, your witnessing, your word, your deeds, your actions, everything we're studying through the book of James right now, your authenticity as Christ followers is nothing. Stay with me. Number three, then our faith would also be in vain. Our entire belief system, everything that we stand for and have made a stand for, and the world has made a stand for as a believer in Christ Jesus, even this amazing vinaigrette that they put together this morning is in vain. It's just like entertainment. All we would do is we would stand for simply revolve around just another dead man. Just like other religions. there would be nothing for us to truly believe in and trust in. Just another mystical figure in history. Number four, as Paul writes this, pens this letter, then the apostolic preaching would be misrepresenting God. Two-thirds of the New Testament would be a lie, written by Paul. Acts 2:24, Peter also claims God raised Jesus from the dead. The foundation of the New Testament church would be void, would be worth nothing. Ephesians 2:20 would also be void, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. The apostles would simply be charlatans, as they have affirmed the resurrection, the non-event of all history. Number five, our faith is futile and we are still in our sins if Christ is not raised from the dead. Romans 4:25, that he was raised for our justification would be meaningless. There would be no forgiveness of sins and we would remain steadfast in us, and we could flip this thing around again and have, what did we have here? Hate, pride, fear, sorrow, greed, stress. We'd all still be living in that. We'd still all be part of that. Yeah, Mark, you're being very negative this morning. I'm not. I'm trying to help you to understand the full import of the resurrection power. You can say amen every now and then. It's okay. Number six, those that have already died have already completely perished. It's done. The resurrection would have been refuted. There is no afterlife. I mean, sometimes we read the stuff where people say, well, Christ didn't really die. He just fainted on the cross. Are you kidding me? Do you understand what actually they did to people on the cross? They actually didn't take them down from the cross until they were dead. And they would break their legs so that they would suffocate so they could hurry up the process. But through prophecy, they said not one of his bones would be broken. They pierced his side with a spear to confirm it. He himself declared, "It is finished." No, he just fainted and the coldness of the tomb revived him. Yeah. You know, you've heard me say it a million times from this pulpit, coming to Christ doesn't mean checking your brains at the door. This is one of those sermons when we don't get to check our brains at the door. We get to think a little bit. Yeah, that's true. The Romans would have made sure that the thief or the murderer or whatever was on the cross was dead. So what was so special about Jesus? They would just let him faint on the cross. Whatever. We sang this morning, "Oh, where is your sting, O death?" The sting of death would be an eternal pain for us. The idea of a liberated spirit would just be another lie. Number seven, shame. We are all men are to be pitied. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Thank you. The pagans would be correct. The foolishness of the cross would be just that, and there would be no saving power. Then I love that little three-letter word. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have been fallen asleep. The first fruits meaning the first example, the first to come off the, if I could put it this, don't shoot me, the example, the assembly line of perfectness. He was the first fruits to come, the resurrected Christ Jesus. And we too would be like him, of resurrected in our spirit man, and one day we will join together at the banquet of the feast of the Lamb, and we will be part of the wedding, and we will celebrate the glorious resurrection and the eternal first fruitness of ourselves. There we go. There's a new word, first fruitness. However, God in His infinite mercy, which means His unmerited favor towards us in our hopeless condition, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I love preaching. I love preaching Easter. It is the power, the resurrection power. Christ has been raised from there. We have this resurrection, this living power. I said I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There is an inheritance that is being guarded. That word guarded there is a military term. It is a fortress, a garrison, and it is undefiled, unperishable, and un-something else. Unperishable, undefiled, and imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And it is waiting for us. Those who beloved Jesus, those who have sold their lives out to Him. There's another inheritance. We have an inheritance here, but there is a glorious eternal inheritance that the Father is guarding, Holy Spirit is guarding in heaven for us. Because of the resurrection power, number one, our sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future. Not just the one you committed yesterday or the one that you can commit today because we're stupid people. Hey, me too. Pastor said I'm stupid. No, I didn't say that. Help me, Jesus. Thank you. Our basic need for forgiveness of sin has been fulfilled. The anger of God, the wrath of God has been set aside by the blood of Jesus in His death and His resurrection. It is the power unto salvation. Our first understanding is God has forgiven us our sins. If God hasn't forgiven our sins, then we can't move forward. We can't move on. We become that. Without that understanding, we become the eternal baby. You're at the cross. We come to the cross. First, He is the Father in heaven. Second, He is our Creator. Then He is our Jesus, our King. And then we come to the cross. And then we get saved. And it's like the little boy who's playing out in the mud. And his mom says to him, Johnny boy, go and clean up and put your clothes on. We're going to the shops. And then he does. And he gets all cleaned up. And then he comes and he sits in the lounge, in the dining room, wherever. He says, we're going to the shops. He says, no, we can't. Why? He says, I'm afraid I'm going to get dirty. He says, you won't. But we like that. We're babes in Christ often because we've got cleaned up. We have, if you listen to me on Friday, we're having our robes of righteousness. We're all cleaned up. But then we got to go and do life. Yeah. We can't sit at the bus stop, the rapture bus stop, waiting for it all to happen. We got to go and do life. We got to go and live for Christ. We got to go and be the salt and the light and the resurrected power. It's okay if I get excited. Our every blessing begins with His forgiveness. And He doesn't hold our sins against us. We shouldn't hold any unforgiveness towards one another. Our unforgiveness causes a traffic jam in your life. When you hold onto it, it's like you have a blocked artery. You need to let it go, forgive it, so that you can flow freely in the kingdom. Peter, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness and resurrection power are tightly knit together. It's like word and spirit. They cannot be divorced. There's things in the kingdom, there's things in the gospel, there's things in the spiritual. You cannot divorce them. They work tandem, hand in hand. But we want to be picky choosy. No, I just want this and I want that and I want that good stuff and I want that bad stuff. I'll just leave that alone. Paul says again, I quoted this on Friday, I think, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." Jesus, the high priest, is our better covenant. "For I will forgive their wickedness," Hebrews 8:12, "and will remember their sins no more." Well, because God's forgetful? No, because He chooses to. Well, He forgot that one so I can actually go and sin again? No. Number two, because Christ is raised from the dead, resurrected power, our faith is well grounded. It's established. We can truly say because of the resurrection, our faith is well grounded. Or even more personally, because of Jesus' resurrection, there is someone that we can absolutely trust in. Someone we can put our full faith in. Never ever will let us down. God proved His trust to man by sending His only Son to die for us. His resurrection proves His love for us in every facet. I don't care how you try and dice it and slice it and which way you want to cut it and look at it. Anybody here willing to sacrifice their child for me? No, I didn't think so. And I'm the same. So just so we're clear. But God, you're safe, Lou. But God, in His infinite agape love, sacrificed His Son. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." That's resurrection power. Because He is resurrected, because of the resurrection power, the apostles' teaching, preaching is true. We can trust it. Some philosophers and some teachers to teach today, there is no absolute truth. If there are no absolute truth, then we can stand. And then our next step after full democracy will become full anarchy. But there is absolute truth. Because in God's creation, He not only created us to worship Him, He also created within the human soul a deep need to not only find, to examine the truth. And that's why we ask questions so many times. Why is it like this? Why did that happen? Why is it? I don't know if you're a young Christian, we all make the same mistake. I think I might have said this before. I got saved, and then I thought, I've got to know how this all ends. So I went and took my Bible, and I got a video set on the book of Revelation. 10 minutes in, I was like, this is way too heady for me. And then I gave the set back and I was like, yeah, no, this doesn't really work for me anymore. And all we are going to learn to do is start at the Gospels where Jesus loved us. And if you're really brave, go to Romans and Hebrews. And if you're even more brave, then you can go and ask Chris about Revelation. You know, God is not after the casual observer. Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Don't come some casual observance, yeah, well, this is just too hard, I just can't do this. No, let's go for it. This is resurrection power. Number four, this is resurrection power. We're not meant to be pitied, we are meant to be envied. Not in a prideful way, we got rid of that. Pride, which is humility. Because Christ has been prayed, then raised, then our preaching is not in vain. Its full meaning, its validity, it is valuable to the perishing and has significance to those who come within the shadow of the gospel, of the message of the gospel. Because they will know the truth, and they will come and they will, and hopefully in your workplaces, in your school places, in the grocery stores, wherever you are, and you meet people, people will walk away going like this. There's a fragrance about that person I'm not sure about, but they have something I don't. Or they will go, I know that fragrance. How are we doing? Living in the resurrected power. I can get very Pentecostal here this morning. Hallelujah. There we go, I'm trying. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When you do it for yourself, when you do it for pride, when you do it for whatever the case may be, it will be in vain and it will be exhausting. And it will be in vain. But when we do it for the King, doesn't matter what you do, if you do it the same thing, but your attitude is different, your resurrection power will come alive in you, and you will be salt and light, and you will be a living letter, as Paul says, and we will be living in the resurrected power of the Holy Spirit. A firm belief in the resurrection is a solid hope for the future. It gives incentive for service in the present. We're looking to the inheritance. We're looking to the future. We live with eternity in our hearts. But we've got to get through time on earth. Doesn't matter how large or how small it is, or how significant or insignificant it might seem to you or to anyone else, if it's for the kingdom, it's resurrection power. Last one. Nearly done. Those who have fallen asleep are alive. If Christ had not been raised, then those who have already died have already completely perished. That's not what it says. Christ has been raised and therefore transcends life and death. He is the first fruit of those. He is the model. He is the Christ one. He is the one we are to follow. He is the one we are to pattern ourselves after. Because he is the first fruit, I want to be the next fruit. Don't you? Not for fame or glory or anything else, because all the fame and glory belongs to him. In this resurrection power, resurrection Sunday, resurrection power believing, Holy Spirit dynamic moment. Oh, yes. We want to be that fruit of the King of Kings. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Someone's getting it. Revelation, not revelations, one revelation. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forever, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that have seen. So Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord God, that we thank you that in raising Christ Jesus, that he is the first fruit, that we follow him, that God, we stand in your promise, that the resurrection power of forgiveness and glorify Jesus as the all-sufficient forgiver. Resurrection power in Jesus, a friend to count on and glorify Jesus as utterly reliable. The resurrection power to guide us into an unchanging truth and glorify Jesus as the absolute foundation for truth and righteousness. And there is no other name under heaven by which man shall be called. And there is no other way except through Jesus Christ to the Father. He is the one and only. He is the resurrected one. He is the living God. He is the mighty Savior. He is the risen Christ. He is the everlasting joy. That there will be no end to death, because death is finished and over, and we will live in a resurrected state, and we live and we glory. Let's just stand together this morning as we give our glory and honor to Jesus Christ, our mighty Lord, our mighty Savior, the resurrected power that lives in me, the Holy Spirit who guides me and leads me into everything that I need. Father God, we glory you this morning. We bring honor to you. Just lift your voices, church. Give glory to Jesus, the resurrected Savior of the world, the mighty God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you are the Lamb slain before this world, Lord, the one and only sacrifice. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.